Thank the Lord tonight for His salvation to us. I think we all live in a time and a period of our life where we're impressed with power. Automobiles and equipment and financial power, all those things are documented a lot. But I am more thankful tonight and surely appreciative of the power of God. That's everlasting power. And that's power that will defeat what all the engines and of the world and the financial monopolies of the world can never touch. Can't compete with that. The power to live free from sin, the power to be delivered from the snare of the fowler. So thank the Lord tonight that we can be kept by God's power. I'd like tonight to consider a little bit more about knowing God for ourselves and the privilege of that and the responsibility of that. We said this morning that we have a great high priest who's gone into the heavens for us. And he came back to us, him, his Father, his Holy Spirit. And they came to make their abode in our life, a present help, a present comforter, one who is a guide in every situation of life, one who is there to instruct us in righteousness and warn us of the dangers of life. And we made a mention of how much is to be gained by having the presence of God in our life, how the power and the authority that is granted to us as you and I become knowledgeable of God for ourselves. One of the great sins of the Catholic Church was to keep the Word and the knowledge of God encapsulated in a few and dole it out as it was advantageous to that movement. And people were illiterate in those days. And they were certainly illiterate of the Latin language. And they had a monopoly, the Catholic Church did, upon the written Word of God. And it caused men for ages to be in darkness. And when some men began to want to translate the Word of God into German and into English, they met great opposition, the peril of their life, and some of them were actually killed. We celebrate and are thankful that we have a printing press. The primary purpose of Gutenberg's printing press was to print the Word of God. That was the founding reason for the printing press. God knows it's extremely important for you and me to know Him on a personal basis. That high priest, that counselor, and that guide. And I believe with all my heart, we touched on that a little bit, the Lord has a great desire for fellowship with us. I marvel sometimes at the people God has put in my life. And I'm not saying this to boast or anything, I am terribly humbled by the people that would maybe count me their friend. I don't feel really deserving of that. But even more so, to think that God wants to be my friend, that God wants to live in my house, and God wants to talk to me, that He is interested in my welfare to the point that He died, that He ascended back on high, that He could be that total intercessor, and He could come live with me in my life and guide me. We read this morning how the Lord said, "Come unto me, every one of us." And He said, "Take His yoke upon us," and He said, "Learn of me." And in the process of learning, we'd find rest to our soul. I marvel, too, at the world. I don't degrade them because I had my conversation there, too. I marvel at the world in their trying to protect themselves. trying to keep themselves out of harm's way, trying to protect the innocency of their children. And yet, they open the door to everything that has the very intent of abusing and hurting the family and the family structure. I'm glad the Lord wants to come and be that special friend that not only teaches us, but empowers us and lives within us to empower us and keep us from the dangers of this world. Where would we be today if God was not interested in us? I ask this another way. Where are we going to be if we're not interested in God? Where would we be if God chose never to speak to us again or never have spoken to us at all? Hebrews, he said, in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, Jesus Christ. What if the Lord had not chosen to do that? What if we choose not to listen? Where would we be if he hadn't? Where will we be if we don't? Something to think about, isn't it? Did you know this morning or this night, just as much, I believe this, that God wants to have that relationship with us and for you and me to have that intimacy with Him and that knowledge of Him. I believe there really is a devil, Satan, the adversary, and just as much as the Lord wants it for us, Satan doesn't want it for us. And on every line that the Lord will bring Himself and manifest Himself to us, Satan will be there to oppose and to try to blind our eyes and our minds. I think we've all seen that. I think we've all seen it in our innocency, in our great desire to serve God. How sometimes I was talking to someone the other day, and I think we've all could say that we've had this, that maybe we're kneeling to pray, and some of the most unprayerful thoughts and remembrances and things to do start coming to our mind. Now, I know it's not me wanting to bring them in there, and I know it's not God that's trying to put them in there, but you know, our mind can just get in the whirl sometimes. Have you ever had Satan? Have you ever had the adversary come and try to get you to think about this and that? So, we have an adversary. And I want to talk about the Lord's, continue talking this night about the Lord and His desire to have a relationship with us, and how Satan doesn't want that, and how you and I must want it for ourselves. I'm glad that my parents, in their very limited understanding, wanted that from me. I'm glad that my first wife and Brother Carver and the saints in Shreveport wanted that for me. I'm so glad Brother Clifford Wilson wanted that for me, and I can name others. But did you know, till I came to a place that I wanted it for myself, I was always on the outside looking in. It never, never rang true till I began to understand what a terrible fellow I was, and how much I stood in need of help. Then, you know, the Lord was able to start working with me in areas that I suppose He had never worked with me before. I began to see things. I began to understand things. Scriptures that I scoffed at began to make real sense to me, and I realized the terrible places that I was in. It's because in my tremendous ignorance and sinfulness, I at least began to allow the Lord to speak a little bit. And I'm so glad I did. You know what? I believe after He converts us, He still wants to speak with us. I believe He still wants to lead us and guide us. Over in 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, starting off like I did this morning. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. And the 3rd verse. But if our gospel be hid, 2 Corinthians 4 and 3, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The word gospel we know means good news. May I say it's tremendously good news that God wants to live in us. It's tremendously good news that God is, and Christ is, our high priest who makes intercession for us. It's wonderful news to know that the Lord wants to come and tabernacle with us, tent with us, to dwell with us, abide with us. It's wonderful news that God wants to deliver us from all the infringement of Satan in our life and deliver us from sin and to give us peace and to be joyful and to be happy and to live a holy life right here in this present world. I know this, that Satan is evil, and the Bible teaches he never abode in the truth. And with all his diabolical ways, he is doing all he can to put an umbrella, if you will, between us and God. And that umbrella is to cast a shadow over what God has for us and to hide from us the image of Christ and hide from us the light of the Lord, to hide from us those things that God wants to give us and has for us and paid for, if you will, by his own blood, that you and I find ourselves struggling in this world on our own, thinking we're independent, thinking we know the answers, and then coming up to that situation in life that we realize we don't have the answer, and then for him to step back and to laugh at us and make us and cause us to feel so lonely and so desperate. Satan is going about this morning or this evening seeking whom he may devour and casting a pall and casting a shadow over the light of the gospel. He said he's trying to hide it. What's he trying to hide? He's trying to hide you and me from God, that you and I do not come to a knowledge of God, because his power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We understand that through a knowledge of God. As we find more out about God, we find out how much more Satan lies. You know, the truth sets us free from error, from sin, and it exposes darkness. Now, there's a place and a time in men's lives, he said in John 3, that men love darkness more than light. That's a terrible place. I hope none of us are there. I hope none of us appreciate darkness, but we all have a great hunger for the light. But as we understand more about the Lord, we find more promises that God has given us. And we have, as our knowledge increases, our faith increases. As our faith increases, our trust, as our trust, our reliance. And as we begin to see more of who God is by that personal revelation to us from Christ within us, Satan begins to be exposed for the fellow he is. And the misery he has for us, for the hardships that he has for us, and the things that he has, how they devalue so much us. And then we begin to see how much God has wonderful things in store for us. But he wants us to miss the mark, Satan does, of full salvation. I suppose, and it doesn't say this in the Bible, but I suppose if Satan can't get you or me to sin, he'd like for us to be miserable Christians anyway. He'd like for us to be terrified Christians, worrying Christians. He'd like for us to be Christians with hurt feelings and et cetera. You know why? Because I want to tell you something. You get miserable in something, somewhere along the line, you're going to want to get out from under that. And it could be, if salvation becomes miserable, Satan might be able to gain an advantage over our life. You know, Satan wants you and me to fall short of the mark of what God has for us. Because as we understand God more and receive more of his power, we've got more weapons. They're able to pull down those things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. They're able to expose the devil. Why, you're nothing but just a liar. And you don't have any good for me. And I've been trying to choose my way thinking I was independent all this time. And you've been feeding that, you old rascal, you. And all the time I've been digging my hole deeper. And I'm deeper in debt. I'm deeper in trouble. My wife doesn't love me as much as we did when we started. All because I thought I was doing what I wanted. No, Satan saying, "Yeah, man, you're doing a good job. You're just doing great. Come on." And all that time, that old cloud is hiding us from the gospel. Oh, today, let's don't miss the mark. Let's have the full salvation that God has for us. Let's enter into that relationship where we know that we have a high priest. And he's holy, he's separate from sinners. He is able to save us absolutely to the uttermost. And in all things, we can be more than conquerors. How do we know that? Through him, through God, through Christ, okay? God would have us, as we've already said, to be his abode, is his tabernacle on this earth. Paul writes and says that we are the temple of the living God. And Satan would have it a little bit more distant than that. Satan would have this God of the world would have you and me acquainted with the Lord, second hand, third hand, hearsay, and maybe be around Christ or around God's people, but not in Christ, and Christ in us. But the Lord wants you and me to move in, and he wants to move in and develop that relationship. Satan has really done a remarkable job. He has invented a lot of substitutes. And not only what we term sectism, but all the other religions of the world, outright paganism, he's invented that. He's the author of that. All kind of charlatans, all kind of just agnostics and atheistic beliefs that are in the world today. Satan has come up with a invention for everybody. What's your price? What's your appetite for? And here, I'll throw you a bone and I'll put God on it if you want it. Well, we'll put Church of God on that bone if you want to. And we'll put Muhammad's name. It doesn't matter. He'll throw us a bone and if you're not careful, we'll be chewing on that. And you know, we're just not equipped to do that. And the first thing you know, a disease of some kind, I mean spiritual diseases and attacks of the devil that come around. Sure enough, I got my Church of God bone, or I've got my Mohammed bone, or I've got this, that, and the other, but someone crosses me and I'm right in their face. Where's the grace of God? Where's that power of the indwelling Christ? Someone treats me bad, I have a chance, the opportunity to take advantage of someone, and right there, we're right there ready to do it. Where is the peace in that? Where is the joy in that? Where is the salvation in that? Aren't you glad the Lord doesn't want to throw us a bone, but he wants to give us full salvation? And Satan is out to keep you and me back from that and keep us from not having that. Satan offers entertainment. You know, if you read about the history of the church, and maybe there's not enough, maybe there's just enough, but there's history written. And did you know, back at the very beginning of the early church, history tells us that they avoided the entertainment of this world. If those dear sweet people that we look on as our heritage, part of our heritage, if they were wise enough not to go to the games and the theater and all the things that maybe they had access to, given what Satan has done today with entertainment, what kind of standard should we have? The world is blinded from the gospel of Jesus Christ in part by entertainment. And you can put any label you want to on it. Some is just entertainment. We need to be real careful. Satan has made a little deal out there for everybody, every slot, you know, a pigeonhole for everybody. And he wants to get you and put you in that pigeonhole somewhere. Why? So you won't know the Lord. So you won't be fully acquainted with him. So the power of God won't be fresh and free and flowing in your life. So that river will be dammed up somewhere. And you know, Ezekiel, and the river flowed, and everywhere that river flowed and everything it touched lived. You know, the Lord is wanting to flow by my house and my heart and in me. And the devil wants to dam that up. He doesn't want you and me to know the Lord for ourselves. He wants to encumber us. I don't know of a time to you that people weren't busy. We think we're so busy. Well, what if you had 40 acres or 100 acres to plow with a team of mules, and springtime was just around the corner and you came down with a sick headache? You'd be pretty busy, wouldn't you? I don't think we can say we're more busy than our grandfathers were. They were some busy folks. It's just that we've got tractors that do it now. Instead of doing a 40 or 100 acres, we do a few thousand acres. Still busy. Still overcharging ourselves. The cares of this life, Satan loves to get you and me caught up in that. Jesus talked about it in the parable of the sower. And this cares of life will just choke out. It's not that we want Jesus to leave. It's not that we don't want to know Jesus. We're just too busy to know Jesus. I think we all are assaulted on this. We need to be careful. See, Satan is trying to blind our minds, blind our understanding of God and knowledge of God. And sure, we're busy. Well, I don't want to miss heaven because I'm busy. I don't want to not pray because I'm busy. I don't want to not study the Word because I'm busy. I don't want to let my busyness usurp authority over God and miss heaven just because, well, Lord, I was busy. I got encumbered by a lot of things. I marvel at the debt load, and I'm not against making a mortgage on a house, and I'm not saying that. But I am marvel at the debt load that people are taking on these days. Debts are so easy to come by. Money is pretty free, really and truly. You go down the road and you can buy a car with no credit. You can buy a house with no credit. You can buy a washing machine, rent it to own it. You'll pay four times its price, but you can own it one day. It's so easy to get encumbered with financial debt. And then the first thing you know, we're working not just a normal, 8-10 hours a day, but we're working round the clock. And we're worried. And when we're worried, we're not trusting. That's some of the things the devil wants to come in and blind us. The Lord told us about food and raiment and be content. And Paul wrote to us about the whatever state we're in to be content. Contentment is really at a premium today in the world. But I'm glad God has contentment for us. So I'm thinking this evening right now about how the devil wants to blind us to a knowledge of God. Keep us occupied over here. Keep us occupied over here. And Jesus is before us saying, come unto me. And we're so busy sometimes. I'm thinking now about a man, his name was Paul, or Saul at the time. And evidently Paul was a focused man even before he got saved, before he was converted. And he went on away breathing out fires and threatening, as the Bible teaches us. One day, though, something miraculous, nothing short of a miracle, happened to Paul. And he met Jesus Christ. And it seemed like Paul he just kind of quit his kicking. He was convinced right there. And I believe he asked, who is this? He said, I'm Jesus that you persecute. And Paul seemed to grasp hold of that, and he said, Lord, what would you have me to do? And it seemed like to me, anyway, from that day forward, Paul had a goal, and Paul had a purpose, and Paul was willing to sacrifice for something better, and that's knowing Jesus Christ. And I want to read some of his writings to us. Think about it a little bit. In the third chapter of Philippians, and this is something I think that's going to come home to us, our responsibility to know the Lord. The Lord has hung on a tree. The Lord has opened his arms up. He was lifted up above this earth, and he invites us all to come to him. Said, if I be lifted up, and he was, on the cross, I'll draw all men to me. So now, what are my duties and my responsibilities? We have an adversary, the devil. Well, listen to some of the things that Paul said to us concerning his goal, his purpose, and his willingness to to sacrifice to know Christ. And I want to inject this tonight. Have you ever thought about sacrificing so you can know Christ? Have you counted it worthy enough to make a sacrifice for? That's quite a thought when you think about it. I want to know Christ. I think, again, Brother Bob Salee told us, the men who walked over from Mozambique, wasn't it, when they heard that a missionary, gospel missionary, was in town, 100 miles or so, maybe didn't have shoes. Surely it wasn't convenient walking that 100 miles or so. Making a sacrifice to get to know the Lord better. I want to ask us today, tonight, what kind of sacrifice am I making or are you making to know the Lord better? Do we think that maybe we've just got it and therefore God's going to do it, and when I need Him, He's going to be Johnny on the spot and I don't have to work out my salvation anymore? It's just something that's given to me. Or do I realize this is a way of sacrifice, of laying aside, that I may know Him in His authority and in His power? Listen to some of the things Paul said in Philippians 3 and 7. And maybe we'll read down through the 11th verse. But what things were gained to me, he's speaking of two lives here, those things I counted lost for Christ. So Paul evidently had prestige. We know he had authority. I'm sure Paul in the flesh kind of enjoyed that. And I believe Paul also thought he was doing right. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, waste, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. I would ask myself, and I'd ask us tonight, how sincere is our desire to know the Lord? Something to think about. I think we need to question ourselves and question, how really sincere am I? Is there a sacrifice I'm not willing to pay? Has God shown me something that He wants to draw me closer to Him, but it's going to require me to make a sacrifice of whatever kind of thing? And I haven't been able and been willing to do that. Seemed like we see in Paul at this time of his life, no doubt he had traveled a ways. No doubt he had preached a few messages, suffered a few hardships. I believe Paul had grown probably, no doubt, closer to God in through all his travels for Him. He knew Him a little better, maybe a lot better. He had received some revelations. But you know, Paul was not peculiar in that, you know, he was the only one God wanted to do that for. He wants to do it for every one of us. And it seems to me by this time, and I don't know at what point in Paul's ministry this was, he had seen a lot of life. He'd seen a lot of sunrises, a lot of sunsets. And maybe he had begun somewhere back there to realize this old world is passing away, and it's only what's going to be, the only eternal thing is Christ, is God. And I've got to know Him above everything else. And it seems we see in Him, and again, this is for all of us, a willingness to rid himself of all the past, all the encumbrances, all those things that Satan was trying and had put upon him. And he had a desire, he said here, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. I believe he said, Paul did, the same writer said, and yet show I you a more excellent way. It's the way of Christ. And he said, I have a desire for the knowledge of the excellency of Christ. It's not like I'm giving something up of equal value when I sacrifice my time, my finances, my will. When I make a sacrifice of you for the Lord, folks, what we are giving up is pale in comparison to what the Lord wants to give us in return. It's an excellent thing God wants to give you and me. It's a knowledge of Him, the knowledge of His power and of His love, and how He can empower us to say no to the devil, how He can help you and me to be a light in a dark, dark world, how He can show us how to live a Christian experience and be a witness for the Lord. Have we thought about that? Of what a privilege it is that you and me can be an instrument of righteousness to bring glory to the Lord. Isn't that something? He put that great treasure in earthen vessels, and He allowed you and me to minister the kingdom of God. What a privilege. It's an excellent way. Paul said, I count everything but waste for the knowledge of the excellency of Christ. Oh, tonight I want to encourage us all. We sing a song, God's way is best. Well, isn't it true? Sure it is. What are we doing to receive that way? Are there things that I'm holding on to, or you tonight, that we really should be letting go of because it's something maybe the devil's using to block the knowledge of Christ, the excellent knowledge that we could gain from that? I know, and I'm sure we all have held on to things that we thought we were entitled to, that we thought was for us, and maybe we thought it made me or made you a happier person. And all the time, we were unsatisfied, we were unfulfilled. Finally, the light seemed to break through a little crevice in our shield that we had lifted up, and we began to realize, why, this is absolutely nothing. This is the point of my trouble. And here I am. Come into our hearts on those matters. We begin to see how foolish we are. We just say, that's waste. You know the song, Wasted Years? Oh, how foolish. I guess that song was written back in Paul's day, but I wonder if he could have sung that. Wasted years. Oh, how foolish. So the Lord wants you and me to have a desire for excellent things. May the Lord help us to have that. To hunger and to thirst after God. To desire Him. And I think to do that, some things probably need to happen from time to time, especially in the beginning. There needs to be an acknowledgement of our error. We need to have an acknowledgement of sin, and we need to repent. It's going to be hard to go anywhere else till we repent. It's going to be hard. We need to come to that first knowledge of I'm a sinner, and I need to be saved. We need to turn away from the thing of sin, if you will, if we expect to go any further in the knowledge of God. We've got to renounce the hidden things of darkness. We've got to have a faith in the work of God. What did He say? They asked Him, what shall we do to work the work of God? And Jesus said, believe on Him that whom He hath sent. That's the work of God. Is you and me believing in this high priest. You and me believing in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You and me believing that He is all wise and holy and pure, and you and I reaching out to embrace that. We begin to know the Lord as we learn to yield to Him. Have you ever tried to teach someone who wouldn't listen? Have you ever tried to teach someone that argued? Have you ever tried to instruct someone that you don't know what you're talking about? I know enough. It's kind of hard, isn't it? We have to come to a place, if you and me yield, if you and me learn of God, if you and me learn in school, if you and me learn on the job, we've got to yield ourselves. Don't ever be so proud to think you can't be taught. And you can't be taught of God. Don't ever think today that what you have, there's not something better. I believe God's got deeper valleys and higher mountains to take every one of us to. And I don't believe He warned us, He said, take heed of how you stand lest you fall, something like that. When we begin to boast that I know and I understand and I've got some kind of rare revelations on this thing, take heed. You're on a banana peeling. And falling is imminent. We all can learn. We all can come to more of a knowledge of God. And Paul said, if by any means I'm willing to do that. What about us tonight? Am I, are you, are we willing this night to yield? Because I want to tell you something. You'll never learn with your head reared back and stiff-necked, arms crossed. Now, you'd say, I don't ever do that. I wonder if we don't ever do that. I wonder sometimes. We get our mind set. I want to tell you something. A person gets their mind set on something. They got a problem if it's set on the wrong thing. Because you're going to just about follow, figure out to do what you've got your mind set on doing. We need to set our mind on the Lord and let Him lead us and let Him guide us. Paul said, if by any means. Paul wanted to know more of the power of the resurrection of Christ. And he said, if by any means I can attain to that. I want that more than anything else. And we can have that tonight. I want to encourage us, every one of you, young and old alike, young people, let your mother and daddy teach you. But you steal away with the Lord and let Him teach you. Let the preacher preach to you and pay heed to what's said over the pulpit. Steal away with God. Get over there somewhere and get alone with God. Read the Word. And then read it and think about it. Take a few notes as you read. Get you a Bible that you don't mind marking up a little bit. And if God blesses you in a scripture, put out there, praise God. Converse with the Lord. You getting ready to go to school in the morning? I know you're busy. Pray to God. Pray to God for yourself and talk to God about yourself and ask God to lead you that day. It's good to have fellow saints to exhort one another and to teach one another, impart what God has shown us, and we grow from one another. No question about that. But God wants us to know Him for ourselves. We can also be clean this evening through the Word. And we can be clean through the blood, by the washing of the regeneration, the Word of God, by being washed in the blood. We can have that. It's still offered to us. We can know Him. The good news is you and me can still make an acceptable sacrifice. Our hearts can be right with God. And those things that you and I do, we can do it to the glory of God. We can know Him in all His radiance and all of His glory. We can know God, as again I'm thinking now, said a little while ago, no longer having to look in and be on the outside and peeking in. You know, sometimes you go down to a town somewhere and you maybe looking in the window. You want to know, well, what kind of furniture they got? Or what kind of food they got in there? Well, you know, different things you look for. Maybe you're looking for somebody in there. And you kind of put your hands up, look through there. Not a very good view, is it? You got a big old sign on most of those doors say, welcome. Come in. Business hours. Open, you know. Did you know God's got a big welcome sign out for us tonight? And He wants us to come in. He greets us. He loves us. And He said, I'm so glad to have you. And let me teach you some things. I got an invitation the other night, the other day in the mail. There's a computer program that you use to enhance and edit pictures with called Photoshop. I got when you register it, well, you get on mailing list, I suppose. So I got a brochure in the mail the other day down in Oklahoma City, maybe next month or so. They're going to have a seminar on Photoshop. And it was to teach people how to use, and I know, I know half this much. I know a fourth this much about Photoshop. So this is, you got to be careful what I say. But it is such an immensely powerful program that it's unreal what you can do with it. Did you know that's the way God is? You know, they are sending out invitations, and for something like $100, if you want to sign up, you can go to this seminar of how to utilize the power of this program. Well, if I was a little more into it, I think I'd consider going, but I'm not. But you know, I am into knowing the Lord. I really want to know the Lord. And did you know He is so powerful, so majestic, and so mighty. He has so much to tell us. He has so much to lead us in. And He's so righteous and so holy. Let's sell everything we have. I'm sure there'll be men and women at that seminar who maybe don't have quite enough money to go. And they probably said, you know, I can go without eating so-and-so, or I can forego this or that so I can go to this seminar. You know, we need to be willing to make a sacrifice that we can know the Lord. Because you think Photoshop has got a lot. Folks, there's things even the people that use it every day don't know about it. That's how big it is. And God created the minds that created Photoshop. You think about that. How much He has to teach us. How much He wants to impart to us. And this is the good news. We don't have to be on the outside looking in. But you and I can be right on the inside. God on the inside of us, if you will. Then the last scripture. Over in John 14:4 this evening. And this is the cry of my soul. I confess it to you. John 4:13-14. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. May I ask us tonight, in our quest for knowledge, in our quest for solutions to life, have you ever been thirsty again? Have you found yourself drinking and thinking, boy, I got it. And then a week later, where did it go? But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him, a well of water springing up to everlasting life. Isn't that something? What if you were standing at a well and you really understood the need of water? You didn't have any problem understanding how the body needs water and the crops and the livestock. You understood how it was, and you also understood that every time I drink of this water, I walk back to the house, and by the time I get back with another bucket, I'm thirsty again. It's hot out here. You understand that? She understood all that. Then the Lord started telling her, I've got something that you'll never thirst again. How many of us could answer like this woman said, sir, give me this water? That's what the Lord wants to do for us. And I want it. This is my cry to my God for myself. I want this water. I want it. I gotta have it. I can't make it without it. I'm too frail without it. I don't have sufficiency of my. I want God to teach me. And He'll not only teach me, but He'll be a living teacher, alive in us. The high priest of God making His abode in our hearts so that we can boldly come to the throne of grace. Think about that. And this lady, she recognized the limitations of her water there. That well, it might have been sweet water. It might have been real good water. But she understood the limitations of that water. And when the Lord spoke to her about a well inside of her that she had never thirst again, she was willing to say, I don't want that one anymore. I want the water that you have to give. How many tonight of us are saying that to God? Evermore give me of this water. You pray for me.